Chapter 6, A Family Dinner. The quiet conversation that Kanan had heard in his cabin cut off as soon as he began to come down the ladder into the cargo bay. Letting himself drop to the floor, he stalled for a moment by dusting off his gloves before turning around. Zeb and Dev stared at him from where they were perched on top of some crates. Lying beside them was the ghost's old and battered first aid kit. There was a small bandage on Dev's left cheek, taped into place and very white against his tanned skin. Above it, those blue eyes watched Kanan carefully, reminding him of the mangy stray tukas that had congregated around the dumpster of an old diner he had worked at once. Half-starved, they had watched every sentient that came out of the building to empty the trash carefully, weighing their chances of getting a kick if they got too close. It made Kanan's gut squirm to see that same look on Dev's face. Clearing his throat, he scratched the back of his neck, very aware that despite trying to clean himself up a bit, he still looked like a wreck. "Hey," he said, his voice rough. "Can I talk to Dev for a moment?" Zeb pinned his ears back, frowning. He turned back to Dev, deliberately showing his back to Kanan.
"You okay with that, kid? I'll stay if you want me to."
Dev looked at Kanan, his face slightly speculative. His eyes flickered over him, head to toe. Kanan tried not to squirm under the weight of the scrutiny. Finally, he nodded silently. "Yeah," he said. "Okay, let's talk. And you don't have to stay if you don't want to," he said, nodding at Zeb. "Thanks for the help, though."
"Believe me, kid,"
Zeb said, fixing his bright green eyes on Kanan.
"It's no problem at all."
Leaning back, he crossed his arms over his broad chest, clearly not about to move an inch. Kanan looked down and rubbed his thumbs over his knuckles, as Zeb's glare burned a hole in the side of his head.
"How's your face?"
he asked. Dev shrugged.
"It's okay. I've been hit harder."
Kanan's throat tightened. The neutrality of that statement made him feel like the lowest slime in the universe. From the way Zeb shifted on top of his crate, like he was sitting on the hood of a too-warm speeder, Kanan guessed that he was probably feeling the same.
"That doesn't make what I did okay," Kanan said slowly. "You know that, right?"
There was a pause before Dev nodded. There was depressingly little comprehension in his eyes, though. Kanan wondered, not for the first time in the few weeks he had known him, just what Dev's life had been like before he was found in that cell. He had said that he didn't have anyone to go back to, which suggested that he had been... But that was enough of that line of thought. He had come down to apologize and explain, not theorize.
"Listen, you deserve an explanation for all that," Kanan said, looking everywhere but at the kid. "The thing is,
blast, I don't explain this without revealing too much.
I met someone I knew a long time ago, and it brought up a lot of bad memories,"
he tried.
"And sometimes, when I get hit with all of those bad memories at once, I kind of go away inside."
Kanan blinked.
"What?"
Dev went a little pink and looked down at the floor. Raising a hand, he fluttered his fingers beside his temple.
"Go away inside."
He shrugged,
raising his head, but not quite looking at Kanan or Zeb. You know, you go all floaty and not quite there, and you're just watching everything go on around you. His eyes flicked up, first to Kanan, then to Zeb, who had uncrossed his arms and was leaning forward with a furrowed brow. I saw it all the time around the Clone War vets. He shrugged helplessly. They'd get this weird look on their face, like they were looking past you, or like no one was home. And then they'd flip out. I should have noticed you had the same sort of look. I'll check next time. Kanan swallowed. The way Dev was acting, looking away and fidgeting with a bruised and bandaged cheek, he had seen that 100 times in the slums where he had stayed before meeting Hera. A kid sitting on the ground by a cantina, doodling in the filth as they waited for their dad or mom to finish drinking and come home, hoping that they didn't get a fresh bruise for the next time. That familiar look and litany of self-blame on his lips after talking to him. Nevertheless, Kanan forded onward. He could talk to Hera about that later. Yeah, sort of like that. But anyways, I wanted to apologize. But Dev was shaking his head. It's okay, he said. You weren't yourself. I should have been paying attention.
Kid, it's not okay, Zeb rumbled. He hit you. You shouldn't be the one apologizing.
Dev looked irritated. I've been hit before, he said. It's no big deal. I should have taken the hint when he didn't answer when I talked to him. Kanan winced and rubbed his forehead.
I'm going to have to agree with Zeb here, actually, he said. It isn't right that I hit you, Dev. Just because you're used to it doesn't make it okay.
Dev groaned and drummed his heels against the crate impatiently.
Not you, too. In any case, Kanan said, I want to make it up to you.
Dev rolled his eyes.
With what?
Kanan paused. He hadn't actually thought this far.
Dinner? He suggested.
Dev cocked an eyebrow, then grinned. I thought it was traditional to offer candy in your windowless speeder van before dinner. Zeb gave out a bark of startled laughter. Kanan just rolled his eyes in reply.
Fine then, he said.
I guess I'll just let that fifth nerf steak go to waste.
Wow, wow, wow,
Dev said, hopping off the crate and holding up his hands.
Let's not be hasty.
Kanan smirked.
I thought so.
A fragile sense of peace began to cool his churning gut, letting him breathe easier.
Dinner will be in 2 standard hours if you want to stick around until then. I'm sure Zeb could find something for you to do.
Dev just laughed.
You think I'm going to take off after you offer me nerf steak? You'll have to pry me out of here with a crowbar.
The sound of meat hissing in a frying pan was a familiar one for Kanan. Over his years spent as a drunk and a scoundrel, he had held down many jobs, and several of those had been as a cook. With its high turnover rate, no one much cared to look too closely into his history, making it perfect for someone looking to hide from the galaxy. In those tiny, filthy kitchens that stank of rotting trash, he never dreamed that he would ever find himself in this sort of situation, standing in a ship's kitchen with an apron wrapped around his waist, quietly making dinner for a group of people that he could honestly say were like a family to him. There was a small, hungry noise at the doorway. Peeking out of the corner of his eye, he had a smile. Dev was standing there, his eyes glued to the small nerf steak sizzling in the pan, and looking very young. Dinner had definitely been a good idea. Leaving the steaks cooking for a moment, Kanan turned back to the pile of vegetables and picked up a knife. The vegetables were not the best. They ranged from limp and droopy to withered. But finding actual vegetables on a space station this far between planets was a blessing that he wasn't going to throw away. So carefully, he began to carve away the inedible bits as best he could.
"That smells wonderful," Hera said,
walking through the doorway with an empty mug in her hand.
She ruffled Dev's hair as she passed,
making him duck his head with a smile and disappear, the sound of his footsteps fading quickly.
"When will it be ready?"
Kanan looked up from his vegetables and grinned.
"Not too long now," he said. "Once I'm done cutting these, it's just a quick steam, and then it's waiting for the meat."
Hera smiled.
"Good," she said. She sat down at the table, rubbing her face.
"You know, I'm always shocked by how exhausting going through the ghost systems is, no matter how many times I have to do it."
Kanan, having finished carving away the bad spots, only briefly glanced over at her, focusing more on chopping up the vegetables into bite-sized chunks.
"Chopper didn't help?" he asked.
"Not quite," she replied, inspecting her mug for remnants of calf. "He was there, but he was, well..."
"Chopper,"
Kanan huffed a laugh.
"Don't know why we keep that bucket of bolts around."
Hera shrugged.
"He's the only one that knows the whole system of the ship at this point," she said. "I'm afraid it's too late, dear." Kanan hummed and continued to chop. Hera continued to sit, leaning back and closing her eyes, the two of them just enjoying each other's attention. Kanan had finished cutting and was just throwing the vegetables into steam when she spoke again.
"Feeling better now?" she asked.
Kanan didn't have to ask what she meant.
"Much better," he said. "It helps that Dev doesn't seem to have held a grudge."
Hera nodded her head.
"He's a sweet boy." She ran a finger around the rim of her mug.
"You like him too, then?"
"He's a very likable boy. Even Chopper doesn't mind him, and he hates everyone."
"Zeb too," Kanan said, turning his attention back to the meat and flipping it.
"He stayed with me and Dev when we were talking, so that Dev didn't feel threatened. Looked like he helped him put on the back to patch, too."
"Now all we need is for Sabine to like him, and then we'll be set," Hera joked. "It's a pity she hasn't been able to be around the past few nights."
"Well," Kanan said, sprinkling some salt on top of the meat.
"I got some good news for you, then. While I was up there giving her some food, I talked to her about eating with us, and she agreed to come to dinner again. Starting tonight."
There was a brief pause. Then Kanan heard Hera get up out of her seat. He grinned as he felt her arms wrap around him and freed a hand to lay on top of them.
"You are far too sweet sometimes,"
Hera murmured into his back.
"Nah, it was nothing," he said. "She needed a break anyways. She's driving herself crazy up there trying to break that message that we caught for Fulcrum."
He felt Hera grin and shake her head.
"She needs to relax," she said. "Fulcrum barely lets anyone know who they are. I had to wait for nearly 2 years before she trusted me with even a holocall, and that was before the network had become an actual threat to the Empire."
Kanan shrugged.
"She's young," he said.
"Being impatient is what teenagers do.
And at least she's willing to put some work into it. I've known a few people that insisted on trust without giving any reason for it."
"Knock, knock," called a voice from the cargo bay. "I'm home."
"Well, speak of the devil," Hera said. "I do believe that she has returned to us."
"Just in time, too," Kanan said, pulling the meat off the stove. "Dinner's just about ready."
Sabine appeared at the door, her hair looking far neater than it had up in the slicing room. She grinned and held up a small box.
"Hey," she said, stepping into the room. "I brought some dessert."
"Thank you, Sabine," Hera said, pulling away from Kanan and taking the box. "I'm sure that it will be delicious." Sabine stuck her hands into her pockets and shrugged.
"It was nothing," she said. "Anyways, where's the new guy Kanan was telling me about? I want to meet him."
Right here,
Zeb said from the doorway. Dev peeked around him and lit up as his eyes fell on Sabine.
Hey, he said, squeezing past Zeb. My name's Dev. Dev Morgan.
He held out his hand for a shake, a charming smile on his face. Kanan grinned and shook his head, pulling out some plates.
Sabine quirked an eyebrow, clearly recognizing the charming smile for what it was, but smiled back anyways, returning the shake with a gentle fist bump.
The name's Sabine. Tech, weaponry, and explosives. Letting her hand fall back to her side, she leaned against the table.
Nice to meet you. Kanan's told me a bit about you.
Oh, yeah. Same thing here,
Dev replied, his face a little pink.
I mean, he's told me a bit about you, not me. I mean, since, you know, me and him only met a few weeks ago, and we haven't exactly swapped backstories and stuff.
He chuckled nervously and looked away. Zeb snorted and placed his hand on top of Dev's head, his fingers covering the boy's eyes.
Kid, he said, quit while you're ahead. You're just making a fool of yourself now.
I wasn't making a fool of myself, Dev complained, tugging at Zeb's hand.
Yeah, kind of were,
Kanan said, breaking in to stop the fight before it began.
But don't worry, I think we're all too hungry to hold it against you.
Picking up a spoon, he grinned at them.
Besides, dinner's ready.
That stopped the two of them from glaring at each other. Pulling out the dish of vegetables, Kanan began to spoon a portion onto each plate, following it quickly with the meat as the kids hovered nearby, their eyes fixed on the food. Snatching the plates up as they were finished, they all quickly settled into the galley and began to dig in, not bothering with conversation for now.
All of them had had a long day, Kanan included. And personally, Kanan was surprised by his own appetite, as he shoveled bits of nerf steak into his mouth and leaned against the counter. Usually after having a flashback, all he wanted was enough alcohol to make him pass out. Not that he had done that since joining up with Hera, but the urge was still there, no matter how many years had passed. Today, though, there was none of that. Just hunger for a good meal. Kanan guessed that there was something to be said for attachment, despite how the Jedi had preached against it.
Looking around the galley, with everyone squashed in and devouring the food he had prepared, he felt a great wave of contentment flow through him. After Order 66, the Temple Massacre, and Styles, Kanan had felt like he was broken and empty in some deep, fundamental way. A yawning hole had opened up in his chest, one that he tried to fill with alcohol and sex.
Neither had worked, only leaving him emptier than ever, and often face down in a gutter with his wallet missing.
He didn't want to even think of what would have happened to him had he not heard Hera's voice that night on Gorse, on track to an early death as he was. Sabine, nearly done with her plate of food, finally slowed down. Swallowing her mouthful, she put down her fork and knife.
So,
she said to Dev,
who had already finished his food, and was busy scraping the last little traces of sauce off of his plate with his own fork.
What's with the bandage?
Dev looked up, sucking on the tines of his fork. Pulling the now gleaming utensil from his mouth, he reached up and touched his cheek.
This? It split open again after Kanan hit me, he said.
Kanan choked.
What?
Sabine's head snapped over to Kanan.
Wincing, he pounded on his chest and coughed a few times. I met a few people after bringing you your lunch. They brought up some bad memories.
Sabine raised an eyebrow.
Bad memories? She said incredulously. What sort of memories make you attack people?
She leaned forward, furrowing her brow and looking fierce. Are there people you want me to keep an eye out for?
Sabine, Hera warned.
Kanan raised a hand wearily.
It's fine, Hera, he said.
Sighing, he rubbed the back of his neck.
Look, Sabine, he said. I know that your heart is in the right place, but these aren't the people who...
He gestured to himself, at a loss to explain in any real detail without collapsing once more.
They're just other survivors. People I knew from back then. And I can't handle those reminders.
He looked down at his own scraped clean plate.
Not right now.
Wait, other survivors? Now Dev was leaning forward, looking equally as concerned as Sabine did.
What does that mean?
Kanan grimaced.
Nothing uncomfortable talking about right now, he warned.
Dev pressed his lips together in frustration, but leaned back in his seat, clearly dropping the subject. Kanan sighed again.
This was not how he had wanted this to go.
How about dessert, then? Hera said, breaking the silence. Sabine, thankfully, despite her suspicious look, played along.
Yeah, she said, getting up from the table. I saw a bakery on the way here and decided, why not?
Picking up the box from where it had been set down on the small counter, she flipped it open and smiled as everyone craned their necks to get a better look. Kanan smiled at the sight of a half a dozen small tarts, filled with what looked like Jungfrut preserves.
Thanks, Sabine, he said, reaching down to pluck one from the box.
She smiled at the compliment, but the air still felt tense. It didn't leave even as they all gobbled the tarts down, or after they had all begun to argue over who got the sixth tart. It made Kanan's stomach cramp, and the ship seemed too close and stuffy. That was why he found himself lingering outside on the ramp, scuffing the surface with the toe of his boot, as Dev scarfed down the last of the pastries, licking his fingers. With a final, satisfied smacking noise, Dev reluctantly put the box down on top of a crate and looked up at him.
I guess this is goodnight, then, he said, the words slightly hesitant as they left his mouth. Yeah, I guess.
Kanan rubbed the back of his neck.
So, am I forgiven?
Dev blinked, looking confused for a moment, before his face melted into a smile.
Yeah, he said, looking down at his feet. Yeah, you're forgiven. Just don't do it again, he said, shaking a finger at Kanan jokingly.
Kanan grinned back and caught the kid's finger, pushing it down.
Message received, he said. Anyways, you're okay to get to...
Kanan paused.
Where was Dev staying again? Oh, you know, where they put all us prisoners, Dev said. I said that out loud.
Dev grinned again, looking away.
Yep, he said. Huh. He must still be pretty rattled if he couldn't keep track of what was coming out of his mouth.
Anyway, Dev said, stretching his arms above his head.
I'll see you tomorrow, I guess.
Letting his arms fall to his sides with a grunt, he began to walk down the ramp into the now quiet hangar bay. It was sleep cycle now, with the lights dimmed low enough for it to be hard for humans to see. Fewer people were out and about as well, most taking advantage of the regular hours that being parked on a space station afforded. A sudden thought struck Kanan as he watched the kid walk away.
Hey, kid,
he called out, making Dev stop and turn around to look at him. Jogging down, he reached out and clapped a hand onto the kid's shoulder.
Dev, he said, it just occurred to me. It's gotta be a long way back to wherever you're sleeping. How about you stay with us for the night? I know I can get Zeb to give up one of the bunks in his room.
No. Kanan looked down at Dev in surprise, just catching a flash of some unidentifiable emotion on his face before the kid looked away. Dev breathed in deeply, his narrow shoulders going up and down, before looking back up at him. Sorry, he said. Not that I don't appreciate the offer, but I kind of like having some space after that cell. Pretty much everyone else has left, so I can really spread out. And I know you guys would be willing to share, but... Kid, Kanan interrupted. You know that if you're going to join us, you are going to have to share a room, right? Dev stuck his hands into the flight suit's pockets and hunched up his shoulders around his ears. I know, he said. I just want to enjoy the space while I can. Kanan couldn't argue with that feeling. The ghost did start to feel pretty cramped after a while, with all five of them on board. If you're sure, then, he said, backing down. Are you sure you don't want to be walked back, at least? Dev brushed the offer off with a gesture. I'll be fine, he said. I'll see you guys tomorrow. All right, then, Kanan said, shrugging both internally and externally. Offer's open if you change your mind. Dev flashed a smile as he turned to leave.
See you,
he said. Yeah, Kanan said quietly, as he watched the boy walk away into the dark. He leaned back against one of the ramp's supporting struts, feeling disquieted for no apparent reason. See ya. Sunlight filled the temple, streaming in through the windows. Caleb could hear birds chirping outside, and the wind rustling through the courtyard tree's leaves. Outside of his master's room, he could hear people moving about, making up the quiet hum of noise that was part of temple life for as long as he could remember. And yet, Caleb didn't want to go outside of the door. Sitting on his master's bed, the mattress not too hard and not too soft, covered in chelacting quilts, he stared at the door, filled with the certainty that if he so much as went near it, everything would stop. Stop with the vitality of death, like the deaths of the clones that they fought beside. A faint knock at the door made Caleb jump. There was a pause, and then another knock. Yes, Caleb called out, from a mouth that seemed to have forgotten how to work. What is it? Caleb, came the soft voice of Master Balaba. It is time for breakfast. Don't leave everyone waiting. The smile in her voice kept the words from stinging. Obediently, Caleb slid off the bed, sinking his bare toes into the lush carpets with a small burst of pleasure. He had nothing like this in the initiate's quarters. Hadn't Master Balaba promised him one of these carpets the other day, when he had expressed his admiration? That was right. She had said it when she brought him here after a particularly hard training session. She had smiled at him, keeping him from feeling guilty for wanting such a luxury. She had run her fingers through his sunny hair, her voice a throaty murmur as she told him what the different woven patterns meant. They had ended up talking for several hours, until his eyes had been drooping, and she had smiled more, draping a quilt over him. The door whooshed open, revealing Master Balaba with her hands folded in front of her and tucked into her sleeves, her hair pulled back into its usual braids. She was smiling again. The birds outside were chirping. Come along now, my Padawan, she said, holding out a hand. We mustn't let the tea cool too much. Caleb smiled back and took her hand, following her into the adjacent room. His smile only grew as he saw who was waiting for him. Sitting at the long, low table were his friends, Sammo and Ty.
Gray and Styles were there, too, out of their armor, but still in their undersuits. Gray was pouring tea for everyone, while Styles poked at the rolls in the basket suspiciously. The door out to the rest of the temple was open, letting the noise of the living in. "Thank you, Gray," Master Balaba said, sitting down gracefully, her robe spread out around her. Caleb tried to sit down as gracefully as she did, but instead found himself thumping down, his own robes wrinkled and piled underneath his butt. "Thank you, Gray," Caleb and his friends chanted, reaching for their own tea. That first sip was so familiar and comforting as it crossed his tongue, he could have drunk the whole pot by himself. It tasted like home, and the connection with the Force, and all the other Jedi in the temple. "Right," Styles announced, picking up the rolls. "I don't entirely trust these, but who wants some bread?" "Sweet rolls," Master Balaba corrected with a smile, "and I would love one this morning."
And me.
"Oh, heck, Captain," Gray said, his eyes crinkling and making the scar across his face flex.
"Give around to everyone."
He winked at Caleb, making an embarrassing giggle slip out.
"So, Caleb, what's it like out there?" Ty asked, his metal braid covers clinking together as he leaned forward.
"Is it exciting?"
Caleb grinned and opened his mouth to answer, feeling a little superior in his knowledge of what it was like out there compared to his still temple-bound friends, when an odd taste filled his mouth. Metallic and salty. It was familiar, like everything else here, but unpleasant, unlike everything else here. Something red caught his gaze out of the corner of his eye. Looking down, Caleb didn't understand what he was looking at in his cup for a moment. Then it hit him. Blood. His tea had been replaced with blood. It stuck to the inside of the cup as he tilted it, leaving yellow and brown stains that stood out against the white porcelain. Looking at the roll on his plate, it looked squashed and a little muddy now, like it had been lying on the ground and stepped on. "Caleb?" Caleb turned his head and screamed. His master, looking down at him with a face slack in death, unrecognizable from the blaster bolts burning half of it off. His friends were slumped over the table, their own eyes blank and clouded, the smell of the burnt flesh overwhelming. Jumping up, Caleb fell over again onto his butt and tried to crawl backwards. Styles stared at him across the table, smiling slightly. His eyes were bulging out of their sockets from the shockwave of the blaster bolt that had slammed through his skull, causing blood to flow from his nose and mouth until it painted a new red streak down the front of his armor. Gray was in his armor, too, but he wasn't sitting at the table anymore. He was standing and aiming his rifle at Caleb, his helmet on and hiding his face, and looking up at him through a sheet of tears in his eyes, Caleb couldn't recognize his friend in the familiar painted piece of armor. His finger wrapped around the trigger, and Caleb was staring down the barrel and could see the light of the Tabana gas igniting. Caleb closed his eyes and wept. Kanan sat on the ramp of the Ghost with a mug of hot Spirin Cap in his hands and his warmest, loosest sweater wrapped around him. He had awoken just at the very end of the sleep cycle of the station. The rest of the crew was sleeping in after the dinner from last night, having spent most of the sleep cycle talking rather than doing what the name suggested and sleeping. They had mostly talked about Dev, everyone having finally met him. Hera had the final say in most decisions regarding the ship, being the captain and the leader of their cell, but she preferred to get everyone's opinion when it came to deciding whether or not to accept a new member. And since everyone was there and had talked to the kid, it had seemed natural to come to a decision then.
Kanan and Hera both liked the kid.
Kanan especially appreciated his clever resourcefulness and the sheer ballsiness of what he had done that day in the market. Hera also approved of the kid's boldness, but thought that he was also useful with how quickly he had picked up on the different repairs that the ghost sometimes needed to stay flying.
Zeb liked the kid, too, though one was hard-pressed to tell with the amount of poo-doo he threw in Dev's direction whenever the kid was on board.
And Sabine. She was a little more reserved. But even she had said that Dev seemed like a nice kid and was willing to give him a chance, despite the awful bit of flirting he had done that night with her. That was why Kanan was sitting out here this early, just as the lights were being raised to signify the start of the wake cycle. It certainly wasn't because of the nightmare that had awoken him 20 minutes earlier, he told himself, no matter how it had made his heart thunder in his chest and his brain forget the name he had been going under for nearly half his life. It certainly had nothing to do with how he couldn't sleep after that, and had had to come out of his cabin and do something to keep himself from breaking down completely. No, he thought, as he took a sip of a Spearin calf, enjoying the scent that filled his nose. He was definitely just sitting out so that he could give the kid the good news as soon as he showed up for work this morning.
That certainly smells good, someone said.
Kanan turned his head and choked, hot calf nearly going up his nose. Master Unduli was standing beside the ramp, one green hand resting on it and looking up at him calmly. She watched as he choked with mild concern.
"Do you need some help?"
she asked, as he tried to regain his breath, tears gathering in the corners of his eyes.
I'm fine,
he croaked, his mind racing. How had she found him? How had she found the ghost? He hadn't been around her long enough for her to memorize his force signature enough to track him through a space station with hundreds of thousands of sentients on board, surely. Unless... Criff. She must have just tracked down the only other force-sensitive on the station that was Jedi strong.
Swallowing, he set down his mug beside him and quickly darted his eyes around, trying to pick her clone guards out of the sentience beginning to slowly move around the hangar.
"Do not worry, Caleb," she said quietly, making him still. "I did not bring Gree and Fim. I realized how distressing that might have been."
"And this isn't distressing?" he wanted to shout hysterically. "Staring his past in the face? It wasn't just the clones that had thrown him off his game the last time they had met." But he didn't shout that. Instead, he just bit the inside of his lower lip, jerkily nodding in acknowledgement of her attempted comfort.
"May I sit with you for a moment and talk?" she asked, slipping around to the end of the ramp and folding her arms in the Jedi fashion. "Just talk, nothing else."
What could Kanan do to stop her? He nodded again, feeling like his brain was going to rattle out of his skull. She bowed her head, climbing up to where he was sitting down and gracefully arranging her skirts around her before kneeling beside him.
Some of those skirts were close to touching Kanan, so close he couldn't keep from flinching as she folded her hands in her lap. He saw her eyes track his movements, and knew that she was filing the reaction away in her mind. Kanan could hear, as if from a great distance, shouting from his memories. People looking for him. He buried his nose in his calf and took a swallow, trying to drown it out with the drink's heated reality. For a minute, they just sat like that. Master Unduli kneeling, him with his legs drawn up to his chest and an arm resting on top, the both of them pretending to watch life drift past them. May I ask a personal question, Doom? She asked, breaking the silence.
Kanan drew his knees closer to his chest, the sound of his previous name making something old and rotting move in his chest.
Jarrus, he said, his voice harsh to his ears. It's Kanan Jarrus now.
Why had he said that? He'd have to change his name again to keep the Jedi from following him. That was going to be so awkward to explain to everybody.
Master Unduli merely inclined her head slightly. Jarrus, then, she said. May I ask a personal question?
A burst of humorless laughter dribbled from Kanan's lips. I can hardly stop you now, can I?
Nevertheless,
she was looking at him with solemn eyes that burned in the dim light until Kanan was forced to look away, pretending to inspect his mug.
Sure,
he muttered, aware that he sounded like a sullen Sabine more than the man he had become.
Why did you leave the Order? She asked. We did not blame you for your actions that day.
And, of course, she started with the hard questions. Kanan ground his teeth together, staring fixedly at the mug in his hands, still half full of rapidly cooling calf. A wordless shout pressed at his teeth as he struggled to put into words what he had been feeling that day. How did he explain his weakness? How he had wanted to puke and scream and cry like a Jedi never would. How the news of his reassignment to a new master had been like a Vorpak gnawing at his guts, with the guilt of hiding while his friends had fought the attacking droids and died. How he had heard their screams, and then their silence echoing through the ventilation shafts, until Master Unduli had dragged him out into the temple and through the halls where the other younglings had lain, their bodies still and their eyes glassy in the death he hadn't deserved to cheat.
Couldn't cut it as a Jedi, I guess,
he said, not looking at her, and forcing himself to take a sip. You don't know that, Master Unduli said, also not looking at him. The future is always in motion. A moment of weakness is nothing to be ashamed of.
Weakness.
The word slid into his chest and heart like a vibroblade. Her very words showed her lie. Kanan nearly tore the mug from his lips and put it down with a hard clink.
What do you want, Master Unduli?
The Miri Allen Jedi Master tapped a finger against her skirt. To make an offer, she said quietly, and if the offer was refused, to understand why.
Kanan smoothed the hand over his hair. Ask away, then, he said. I have a lot to do today.
Will you return to the Jedi Order?
No.
An easy enough question to answer. Why not?
Because I said no.
Kanan stood up and turned to return to the inside of the ship.
Anything else?
He asked, his back prickling from Master Unduli's stare. There was silence. Then, no, I suppose not.
He heard her skirts rustle as she stood up and straightened her clothes.
My thanks for speaking with me, Jarrus.
Kanan just grunted and waited until he heard her footsteps fade, concentrating on his breathing. His hands were shaking, he realized, grabbing a hold of his mug with both hands. Shaking so hard that he could see it in the calf. Closing his eyes, he tried to pull himself together. Who was that? Kanan almost reacted the same way he had the previous day. Jumping, he whirled, his arm pulling back to lash out until... Kanan?
Dev flinched back, ducking his head, and Kanan just managed to stop himself. He was breathing heavily through his nose now, his ears ringing again like he had just been in a firefight with a blaster right by his ear. For a few seconds, they stood there, Dev peeking up at him from under his arm. Kanan about to backhand him in a twisted tableau that Kanan was sure would get Darth Sidious off. A Jedi-trained man lashing out at those he was supposed to be protecting. Kanan wanted to run off and vomit in the fresh air. But he didn't. Instead, he took a deep breath and lowered his arm, sternly telling his racing heart to slow down. There was no threat here. It was just Dev and himself. And Dev, at least, didn't think he was a coward or a runaway. Dev only knew Kanan, who had helped him when he had needed it. Just the sort of person he wanted right now. Someone who wouldn't urge him to face his past or discuss what had happened all those years ago. Reaching up with his free hand, he smoothed his hair back and sighed, more at himself than at anything else. "Sorry," he said. "One of those people from yesterday showed up again today. I wasn't expecting it." Dev lowered his arm, never taking his eyes off Kanan. "If this is what you're like every time someone you know shows up," he said, flashing a smile that didn't reach his eyes, "you need a bouncer." Kanan smiled weakly at the kid's attempt at humor. It didn't really work, but he appreciated the effort. He didn't appreciate the next sentence that came out of Dev's mouth, though. "I mean, who are those people? Who can make you flip out like that?" Looking away and grimacing, Kanan flexed his hand. "A Jedi," he said shortly. "Yesterday she had some clones with her as well." He expected a torrent of questions, but they never came. After a few heartbeats, he turned to look at the kid, curious about the silence. All of Dev's blood seemed to have drained from his face. Clutching his chest so hard that his flight suit was wrinkling under his grip, Dev stared up at him with his eyes so wide Kanan could see the whites all around the irises. "A Jedi," he said. "I thought..." He stopped, as if someone had reached out and choked him. Kanan raised an eyebrow, mystified by the kid's strange reaction. He reached out to place a hand on Dev's shoulder to reassure him. The kid nearly threw himself back to stay out of Kanan's reach. Does that mean that you're a Jedi too?" he demanded, a nasty, jagged, hysterical edge to his voice. "Kid," Kanan said, the words dying on his tongue. He knew that the Jedi had a bad reputation on Empire worlds. Sidious's propaganda had done a good job of that. But this reaction... I'm not feeling too good," Dev said, now avoiding Kanan's eyes as well as his hand. I need to go lie down. I'll see you tomorrow." "Kid, wait." But it was too late. Dev bolted away from the ghost and Kanan, charging through the crowds and ships until he disappeared. Kanan watched him go, a bad feeling twisting in his gut. Behind him, there was a clanging noise as someone jumped down from the upper level of the ship into the cargo bay. "Sorry, Kanan," Sabine said, popping up at his elbow and already furiously fiddling with some device in her hands. "I gotta run. Something just occurred to me about that encryption. If I'm right, then I should be able to break it by this afternoon." Kanan continued to stare after Dev. "Yeah," he said distractedly. "Good luck." Normally, Sabine would have said something, but distracted with her bright idea as she was,
All she did was clap him on the back with a brusque thanks and take off, still staring at the little vid screen in her hands. Kanan had the feeling that it was going to be a long, long day.